The name Peter Credlin has now become familiar to many of us, I think. But how many know the name Pat Fanaris? They do the same job, but of course for different people. Mrs. Credlin for the Prime Minister, and Pat Fanaris, and excuse me, I'm not sure if Pat is male or female, for our State Premier, Mr. Wetherill. They are personal assistants, heads of their respective bosses' private offices. Now, usually such people are not well known in public at all. They work behind the scenes, supporting and arranging things for their more publicly, and rightly so, well-known boss. I mention these two individuals because for many Christians, this is exactly the way they have thought about the office of the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, and how he is involved in salvation. For many, has been a matter shrouded in mystery. It's as if he belongs behind the scenes and is not or ought not to be known much about. All the limelight, they think and have thought, should belong to Jesus and him alone. Now, this is for most Christians, I say, because for the Pentecostally inclined, they recognise the Holy Spirit's importance, almost exaggerating it over and above that, if it were possible, of the Lord Jesus himself. To hear them speak, everything depends on the Holy Spirit, almost to put him on level pegging, if not in front of Jesus at times. And I know that's an exaggeration as well. Well, it's almost as if, as you've noted in the media recently, some people see Mrs. Credlin as being responsible for more things than the Prime Minister almost is. Well, make of that what you will. Well, the truth is, as far as the Holy Spirit's position, that he is a harmonious helper, doing his part within the glorious Trinity to bring about the salvation purposes which the one holy triune living God has agreed together in eternity past. And in a minute, what we're going to do is see fairly briefly this morning what God's word teaches about his ministry, his person, and his work within us. And you'll see if you look at the digest, I've summarised a lot of it because I'm aware of this morning's conditions, and I'd rather you leave asking for more than wriggling and wanting to get out of here away from the sound of my voice. So we're going to look at his person and his work briefly this morning, and you'll have the summary scriptures to look up for yourself. But before we do, let's sing this beautiful flowing hymn 264, Spirit of Holiness, Wisdom and Faithfulness.
Serving
Indeed, the Holy Spirit is a person. Yes, he is a spirit, a non-physical, supernatural being, equally God with the Father and Son. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He is the third person of the triune God, and just as much a person as is the Father and the Son. And as Ian was reading through Romans 8, it correctly assigns to him the male pronoun, him, he, not it, as some people have done over the generations. He is a person. And he is holy. Romans 1, the Spirit of holiness. That is, he is known fundamentally to be the one who is not only without sin himself, being God, the one set apart for God's use, but the one whose main task is to promote sinlessness and separateness to God. That's his task. And so we read, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved in Christ through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. The Father chooses, the Spirit sanctifies or sets apart, and the chosen sinner believes." That's the way the Trinity works. Now, how do we know we're being sanctified? That's a good question. Well, we desire and delight in obeying Christ. That's the answer. The work of sanctifying sinners is fundamental to the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holy. And I guess he's referred to as the Holy Spirit because there are evil spirits around in the world as well, other non-physical beings that exist. Well, that's a summary of his person. But then what does he do? Well, there are many things, and that's why I've taken time in the insert to also add further information. But he carries out specific work, and I'm highlighting five things. First of all, he reveals spiritual reality to people. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And this is focusing, of course, on those whom he's working in their hearts and drawing to himself. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. There's a comparison. God must reveal things to us in order for us to understand them. We have not received the Spirit of the world when we became Christians, understood, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught to us by the Spirit, that is God's Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in Spirit-anointed or Spirit-directed or Spirit-guided words. The Apostle Paul is taking time to explain that those who are switched on to God will hear and receive and welcome these things. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually appreciated. Now, you may have had this experience. You may have talked to people and quoted a Bible verse, and you may have been amazed by it and thrilled with it. And they may have looked at you and said, "Oh, yeah," with that sort of dull expression on their face, no enthusiasm in their eyes. And you may have been amazed. Well, that's the answer. They're not yet switched on to God. Now, don't give up on them, because you never know when the Lord will turn the light on in their soul. No one will come to know the true God unless God's Holy Spirit reveals God to them. Because all truly spiritual conversation seems foolishness to a person who is not born from God. I'll leave you to look at that second point there about the Spirit having inspired the writers of Scripture. The writers of Scripture are carried along, moved to commit to writing what God intends. But then thirdly, the Holy Spirit regenerates or gives life to dead souls. Well, how does this happen? Well, Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh, meaning every human being is born, but it has to be the Holy Spirit giving birth to spiritual reality. That's just following through on what I've just said. And it is the kindness of God that brings that about. It's not because of what we do, it's not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of God's mercy that this happens. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom God poured out on us generously through the Lord Jesus, our Saviour. So that having been declared right or justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The Holy Spirit brings about new birth, having given life to dead souls. That's where the Christian life begins. Some people have said, "Stephan, I don't know when I became a Christian. I can't point to a date." You can. You've told us April 1976 for you. I can't point to a date. And my answer is, my dear friend, doesn't matter. As long as you can point to a time when you thrilled to hear the name of the Lord Jesus, when you came to love reading your Bible, when you began to fervently, personally pray and believe that God heard you because you came to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you can say amen to that, doesn't matter whether you can name a date or not. For those of us who can, that's good. But what I find is that people I come across can't say amen to that. They can't say, "Yes, I've come to say yes, yes, yes," and tick those boxes. And that worries me. Because to be a Christian is to be born again. Like that. When we've come to trust in Christ, it didn't begin in myself. It began with the Lord Jesus through the Spirit giving life to my dead soul. Not because of what I did, but according to Titus 3 there, what God did. Okay, fourthly, and when I receive new life, and any person receives new life, the Holy Spirit, we're told, comes to live within the believer as the counselor. The promise is here: I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. For he lives with you and will be in you, said the Lord Jesus. And there are various things there that I have spelt out in the insert that take place as a result of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, living within us. Wonderful things that I will not detail this morning, but I encourage you with all the encouragement I can to take a look. Beautiful things. Now, does that mean that we have life without any kind of difficulties and problems? No. But we're set up for a life of life and godliness, all that we need. And it's a wonderful thing. You all know, or most of you know, I think, that Sue and I have just taken out a home loan. And so there's a bank account that's been set up. And we have all that we need there. Does that mean we've paid off the whole home loan yet? No, we haven't. Just we've only, as the carpenter's saying a long time ago, we've only just begun. That's going to be an interesting time period to do that. But everything's in place for the process to commence. And that's using a human illustration to say everything that we need from God is there. We can thank him for it. And for the record, we're grateful that we've got everything in place to get on with doing what comes next as far as that's concerned. Yeah, the Holy Spirit resides within us. And then fifthly and finally, and there's a lot more that could be said, but I'm giving you the main points this morning. The Holy Spirit, he rebukes wrong teaching and points us to the Lord Jesus. We've just been looking together, haven't we, at 1 John. And so it's the Spirit who exposes the teaching of the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, the in the place of Christ teaching of the worldly teachers. And there was also other false teaching going around in the early church, as there is today. Well, it's the Holy Spirit who exposes the wrong teaching. If you come across Christian literature and you think, this doesn't feel right to me, this doesn't look right, you can check it with me or someone else. Is this a right way of expressing the gospel? It's good that you do that. Check it with other people. But ultimately, the Spirit needs to witness with your spirit as to the rightness of what's being taught. And from this pulpit too, you know. And the Holy Spirit witnesses with your spirit about these things. But he also positively points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've given you the reference there from John 16. He is the Spirit of truth. So to conclude this morning, how should we best describe the Holy Spirit and his person and work? Is he someone who works behind the scenes, in the shadows, to be ignored or not taken notice of? Well, I think probably to use a political figure, I think like a Julie Bishop to our Prime Minister, rather than a Peter Credlin, someone to be acknowledged, someone to be given great respect, a helpful person, indispensable, we might say, prominent and rightly so, deserving full and individual recognition because of the invaluable work that he does. As an equal person in the Holy Trinity, doing that which is important and distinct for him to do, proceeding as he does from the Father and the Son. Let's thank God for his ministry. And then as we close with another hymn that places him in the centre, pray for his blessing and guidance of us and help to be people that will honour the Lord, Father, Son and Spirit. Let's pray. Father, this morning we give you thanks for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how he points us to the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for his gracious and powerful and effective ministry, and pray for his impact upon our lives. Thank you for the balance and the clarity of the Scriptures teaching about his work, and I pray in what I've said today and in the way I've prepared it that it would be helpful for us all, myself included, that we may honour you, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to join together to sing hymn 270 now. Gracious Spirit, live in me. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all today and forevermore. Amen.